Good morning.
Hey, Mama.
How y'all doing? Hey, son.
Hey, Mama.
I got my Bambino with me today.
Oh.
Little Bobby the Bambino. And of course, Gus, he's always around. He thinks he's a little bitty dog.
He's my favorite lap dog.
I'm telling you, he is the best dog. Gus is a golden dude.
Well, I don't know that I would say he's the best dog.
Oh, he is.
He's a good dog, though.
He is the best dog I know I've personally ever had. I loved all of my dogs. But
here's what he is. He's
Gus
very,
is so smart.
He's a very loving dog.
He's very loving.
Okay.
I would highly recommend a golden doodle because they're hypoallergenic. They've got poodle in them, which makes them so smart. And they don't shed. A shedding dog just drives me and just crazy.
Well, let's get right to the show, shall we?
Yes.
Because we only have so much time.
We've gotten some questions from y'all, so we're going to address those this morning. Can you still see good, son?
I can. I'm just going to work around Gus.
Here, Gus. Lay down, buddy. Lay down.
All right.
Lay down.
This is my favorite. This is my favorite when we get to interact with people who enjoy what we do. That's always so much fun.
I know.
You know, I do the holiday and the spring bacon championships,
uh-huh.
And I run into people that just, they'd love to meet you when they know your work. Do you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And they always have great questions for about what you do.
Yes.
And what you do so well is just cook.
Thank
and make,
you.
Make really, really
you
good...
You missed a good meal yesterday, son.
Did I?
Yes. I made chicken bog, and it's just chicken and rice, y'all, with, like, the smoked sausage, that fat, plump sausage.
That sounds so good.
Oh, it was so good, and fresh butter beans, and fresh green beans, and new potatoes.
Oh, that does sound good.
And deviled eggs, and cucumber salad. I'm starving.
Keep talking. I'm going over the questions.
Okay.
I'm trying to choose some good ones.
Okay. Well, we want to answer them all.
Well, keep going means keep going.
Okay. So, what have y'all been doing lately?
Okay.
I've been on the road. Have you found a question yet?
Oh, these are all good.
I thought I could talk
aimlessly. I'm having a hard time choosing one. All right.
Well, let's just start.
Okay. Yeah, they're all too good. All right,
okay.
Let's start with a simple one. Mama's question is from David.
Uh-huh.
David, thank you for your question. The question is, it's a great question. Do you really have to put peas into a pot pie? And I'm assuming that, David, you don't like peas.
That's no, you do not have to put peas in a pot pie. Because remember, I think I gave some pretty good advice to people out there. You know, the first time you may want to follow the recipe exactly, David. But then the next time, you want to make it your own. You want to put your favorite things in there. You know, you could put butter beans in there if you didn't like the little green peas. No.
Well, wait now. What if they don't
want
to pee at all?
They don't have to pee at all.
Huh?
They don't have to put a pee in.
Do you think could you substitute something like... broccoli or cauliflower or any other
that would be strange. That would be strange in a pot pie. But if that's what you like, by all means, put that in there. Mm. It's really all about this, what you like.
Right. So there you go, David. You don't have to pee at all. All right, our next question is from, I've never seen this name before in my life, Ardith. A-R-D-Y.
Sounds like you're trying to say artist, but you can't. You're saying Ardith.
I think I'm saying it right. A-R-D-Y-T-H-E. I believe it's Ardith. Ardith asks, Paula, I am highly allergic to citrus. What can I substitute it? What can I substitute for it in recipes?
Wow.
Allergic to citrus.
Citrus. Well, I would avoid recipes that call for citrus if I was completely allergic to it. Because, you know, if it calls for lemon... You know, maybe you could use vinegar instead.
Something else that's very acidic.
Acidic, yes. But, you know, usually recipes that call for citrus, that's the star.
Very specific to that. Like a key lime pie.
Right, right.
You just don't get any key lime pie, Ardith.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Or lemon pie.
Or lemon pie, Ardith. Have a steak.
I don't know. Would that include pineapple?
Citrus, highly allergic.
Pineapple, would that be a citrus?
I would say
check that out. Ardeth and C.
It's extremely acidic, so I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ardeth. Our next question comes from Kathleen. Paula, you're gonna like this question. How does an empty nester cook without having to throw out leftovers because all six of my angels are grown up and out of the house?
Oh, honey, I feel your pain. I've had to go through the empty nest, and it's hard. It is hard to, you were probably cooking for 9 all those years, and now you're cooking for 2. That's a big adjustment. But, you know, I mean, that's so simple to
6 kids, 2 parents, and who's the other one that they're cooking for?
Oh, I can't. Failed math, mm-hmm. y'all. I'm sorry. So 6 kids, that would be 8.
Great.
I was never good at math, y'all.
Okay.
But, like, when you're making meatloaf, you can make in the small loaf pans just enough for you and your husband. Of course, they make wonderful sandwiches left over. I love a meatloaf sandwich. So just make your normal amount and just put it in the freezer for you. Or do things like steak, where you have your one steak or you have your crab cake. Mm. But I know the feeling. It's hard to cook for 1 or 2 people. It really, really is. Mm-hmm. But my Aunt Peggy, she cooks for herself and makes herself wonderful meals, even though she's now her household is now down to 1. But she has learned how to do just smaller portions and freeze. So that's what I would recommend.
I agree. It's harder to cook for 1 person sometimes than it is for a big group
of people. Oh, without a doubt. Frying chicken for 1.
It's tough.
Oh, please.
Now, but if you're into this sort of thing, if you have a nice garden, you could always compost or you could do something like that. But there's nothing worse than wasted food, especially in a world where so many people are hungry.
Do you know, Bobby, I'm in the process of coming out with a piece of equipment, and I wish I could really tell y'all about it. But a piece of equipment that is ideal for 2 people. So, but I'll tell y'all all about that later.
I'd like to know what it is.
I'm not telling.
Okay. I'd like to know. Okay, our next question comes from Austin.
Uh-huh.
Not the city, but a person named
Austin.
Oh, and before you feel too sorry for my mother, believe me, I've been to her nest. It's not empty. It's full of children and grandchildren and dogs and people.
Yes, but so, not all the time. So that's the part that
so
makes
you
me
know,
sad.
Mama's not sitting around by herself. There's a lot of love in that house.
But we are blessed, y'all. All of mine and Michael's children and our brothers live within like a 2-mile radius of us. Go. So
2-foot radius. Dear Miss Paula Dean, my name is Austin, and I'm a huge fan of your...
Austin?
No, I just said this question is from Austin.
Oh.
Yeah. And I'm assuming that this is a young person. Dear Miss Paula Dean, my name is Austin, and I'm a huge fan of yours. I live very close to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
And eat at your kitchen very often.
Oh.
My question for you is, what is the secret to a perfect fried green tomato? The question goes on. What's the easiest but most tasty way to go about cooking them? Austin wants to know.
Okay.
And I hope to hear from you soon. Much love and appreciation from your number one fan, Austin.
Hey,
near Pigeon
Austin.
Forge, Tennessee. So talk to Austin about fried green tomatoes.
Hey, my darling, I can tell you the perfect way to prepare a fried green tomato. You'll want to get a nice, firm green tomato. And you'll want to slice it. And I like them kind of like maybe 1/4 inch thick. And you want to lay them out on a cookie sheet that's lined with paper towels. You'll want to salt both sides and flip them periodically. And that salt is going to pull out all the water that's in that green tomato that could possibly cause you to wind up with a soggy green tomato. All right, now we're going to get our self-rising flour, and we're going to get us a bowl of buttermilk. The green tomatoes go into the buttermilk, shake that buttermilk off, and then into the flour. And we deep fry ours at the restaurant, and then we serve them with a Vidalia onion sauce. that is so very good. But you'll want to fry the tomatoes until they're crispy, and you'll need to keep turning them over pretty regular. Just keep turning them over until they're nice and crispy, and then drain them on a paper towel, and it will be the best fried green tomato you have ever put in your mouth, Austin. Mm.
And in a cast iron skillet too, probably, is it?
Well, yeah. Well, I do mine in the deep fryer, but yes, if you don't have a deep fryer, you can use a cast iron, one of your tall Dutch oven.
Quickly, what kind of oil? Iron.
Well, I always use peanut oil now, Austin, because that has a higher resistance to burning. So you can reuse peanut oil. All you have to do is strain it and put it in a clean container, and it's ready to keep going.
All right, Austin, there you go, kiddo.
That's the best I can do, Austin, without coming and cooking them for you. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I want to see what the other questions are.
We got more.
Yes. I think it's so important that you're happy with the look and feel of your home. In fact, my recommendation is start by updating your window treatments with Smith & Noble. Smith & Noble's beautiful handcrafted blinds, drapes, shades, and shutters are custom made for you. You can work one-on-one with an expert designer with their in-home design services, or you can take advantage of their free measuring and low-cost installation services. Guarantee a perfect fit. So create a space that you're going to love. Contact Smith & Noble to get my special limited-time offer, y'all. 25% off on your window treatments, plus free design consultation. For details about my special offer, just go to smithandnoble.com/Paula. That's smithandnoble.com/Paula. Or call 1-800-659-3300. That's 1-800-659-3300. Hey, y'all, we're back, and I'm going to try to answer some more questions.
More viewer
mail. And if
mail.
I don't have an answer, I will tell you I don't know.
More. Yeah.
I won't just make up an answer.
You're smart enough to say when you don't know something. All right, our next question comes from Barbara. Barbara asks, why, when I make a graham cracker crust, does it come out so hard?
Okay, let's talk about your graham cracker
Common
crust. You might be over-baking it. I put sugar and butter into my cracker crumbs, and I pat it into my pie pan, and I probably bake it for about 6 minutes, Barbara, just enough for the butter to melt into it so it will be firm and you can get out a piece with one scoop. So I don't know how long you're cooking it, honey, but that may be the problem. Or maybe not enough butter.
Okay. Our next question comes from Trisha. Trisha asks, I love yeast rolls of any kind.
So do I, Trisha.
Yes.
So do I.
Talk it, sister. I always get my water either too hot or not hot enough. What kind of thermometer should I purchase?
You should use a liquid thermometer.
Bingo, bingo.
One that will give you the temperature of a liquid. Not a meat probe or anything like that.
Could I interject?
Yes, please.
I think that an InstaRead thermometer would be the way to go. You know, the digital ones that give you the temperature right away?
Yes.
They cost a little bit more, but I really think they're worth it. In fact, Michael and you gave Claudia and me for Christmas this year an InstaRead thermometer. Absolutely love it. I use it
Michael,
all the time.
Michael bought all you guys this wonderful thermometer, and you're right, Bobby. They can be pricey. I think Michael gave $100 for those thermometers, but they were supposed to be the best.
Well, with some things, you get what you pay for, and these things are amazing.
Yes, yes.
All right, next question is from Eric. Eric asks, Paula, I love to cook. Eric says, Paula, I love to cook and entertain, and I invite friends over all the time, though with just one exception, none of the friends ever want to extend an entertaining invitation to their homes. Should I feel offended or underappreciated? I think you're probably a really good cook and a host, and that's what it is.
You know, you may be onto something there, Bobby. Some people don't have enough confidence in themselves to invite people over, especially a good cook, because I've had the comment made about me, oh, I would never want to feed Paula Deen. Well, I am a big, big fan of home cooking. I like home cooking much more than I do restaurant food. Mm. And so I'm got a very simple palate, and I think I'm pretty easy to please. So I don't think that it's anything you've said or done, but it's probably that someone else feels inadequate and couldn't do as good a job. And, you know, I find myself in the same position as you. The invitations always come from Michael and me instead of vice versa. Mm, mm. And I think that's probably what it is.
That's because everybody wants to go to your house and eat. You know what? Here's a good idea to take advantage of that situation, too. The next time you cook for your friends, charge everybody. See, this sounds like it's a joke, but it's not. Charge everybody like a small amount what you would pay for like a meal if you went out to a restaurant in your local city. Collect all the money and donate it to your local food bank. And do that every time your friends come over. That's a great idea.
That's a great idea, Bobby. A great idea.
Question, Mama, comes from Earlene. Mm-hmm. That's a great old name.
I know. That was the name of your great-great-aunt, Earlene. Mm. And, you know, your granddaddy, my daddy, was named Earl. Mm-hmm. And when I was born, Mama wanted to name me Paula after her maiden name, Paul. Mm-hmm. Daddy wanted to name me Earlene after him. Mm. And I'm just saying, I'm glad they named me Paula.
How do we know who won that?
Mama won.
All right, here we go. This question is from Earlene, and the question starts this way. What am I doing wrong? Every time I make one of your wonderful cheesecakes, which is often, as I can make an excuse to make one, it leaks from the butter in the crust into my oven and makes a mess. I'm sorry, I'm reading that question very poorly, Earlene. Every time I make one, it leaks from the butter in the crust into my oven and it makes a mess.
I have used
different springform pans and it does the same.
Okay.
Please help me. The cheesecake tastes wonderful, but the mess keeps me from making more.
I hear you. I've had that happen to me before. And I line my pan with tinfoil to keep that from happening. Mm. So I think that'll solve your problem, Earlene. Just line it with tinfoil.
Let me ask you this. The last time I made a cheesecake, oh boy, was it good too. I cooked it in a pan of water.
Yes, a water bath.
So I lined my spring form and then put it in the pan of water and then cooked it. There's no way. She must not be cooking hers in a water bath if it's leaking from the spring form into the oven.
She must not.
Which leads me to my question, and that is, if you cook a cheesecake and there has to be a water bath involved, could you just put a pan of water in the oven with the cheesecake but not the cheesecake in it? Do you see what I'm saying? Where just the steam would be in the oven. Or does the pan have to be in the water?
The pan needs to be in the water, and that steam bath will help your cheesecakes from cracking. Mm. It was just called to my attention too, Bobby, that America's Test Kitchen tested a lot of springform pans because people had the same complaints that they leaked. So you might just try buying a better, more expensive springform pan, but you're going to be safe if you just wrap that puppy in heavy-duty tinfoil. Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go, Earlene. There's the answer to your question. And who better to ask your cooking questions than the queen of Southern cuisine, my mama,
thank you,
Paula Deen. Wow,
thank you. Thank y'all for joining us today. Thank you for Bobby, so busy. You're fixing to leave for L.A. to go shoot one of your shows, aren't you?
I am.
So I appreciate you slipping in time for your mama and her friends.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for asking.
I'll see y'all next time.
Bye, y'all.